Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come and loosen our tongues and open our ears that we may speak and be attentive to your great deeds of power. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Pentecost is the experience of the disciples beginning to speak. In 2008, Wesley United Methodist Church of Eugene, Oregon, began the Congregational Formation Initiative through the Ecclesia Project, that we as a congregation might begin to speak. Oh, to that point, we were a typical Methodist congregation, well-schooled in social niceties. But if one were to stand in our fellowship hall during coffee hour on any given Sunday, well, one would hear much chatter. One would hear almost nothing being said. It was for congregations such as ours that the Congregation Formation Initiative was developed, as it states clearly in the introduction to the first study, Shape of Our Lives. One can tell a great deal about a congregation by examining its conversational habits. Are they able to talk about things that really matter and are therefore potentially dangerous? Or is all or most of the conversation about things that are safe? It was without CFI that we would not have developed the habits of attending carefully to our life together. CFI was our Pentecost experience where we began to speak. And when we began to speak, our experience was like, not unlike as I imagine the first Pentecost to be, that is, when we began to speak in different languages. Oh, we assumed that we all spoke the language of faith formation. We all assumed we spoke Christian. We all assumed we shared a similar story, but we did not. Cretans and Arabs, we all were. Each of us a native language unto ourselves. Try telling a group of progressive liberal Northwest Methodists that it just might be the church's role to shape the way we as Christians think, and you will get confused looks. I'm sorry, I didn't understand you there. You stopped speaking American for just a moment. It wasn't until we began to speak that we realized how far from one another we really were. In an article entitled Pentecost, Learning the Language of Peace, Stanley Hauerwas explains that Pentecost marks the birth of a people through the restoration of communication between peoples of different languages and stories. CFI marked for us our birth through the restoration of communication between peoples of different languages. But in that same article, Hauerwas warns, leaning heavily on the work of Herbert McCabe, if ethics is the study of human behavior as communication, then what we can accomplish or what we fail to accomplish is determined by what we can say or what we cannot say. This truth was brought home painfully to our CFI group after a year of weekly conversations, and we discovered how much we had failed to accomplish when two tragic things happened to us. One of a beloved member of our CFI group died suddenly of respiratory failure, leaving his widow stunned and completely isolated in her grief, even in our midst. The second was a prominent couple waited until after our conversations were over to tell me that their marriage was finished. They were getting a divorce and he was leaving the church. How could we speak weekly for a year? And yet still there was so much we could not say. In the same article, Hauerwasser assures us that Pentecost is God's continuous resource that God gives the church that sustains the ability to suffer or to respond to those who suffer for the long haul. And so we did the only thing we knew how to do. We kept speaking. And it wasn't until we reached the end of our second year of weekly conversations that we came to a consensus that maybe it would be a good thing for our congregation to embrace our role in faith formation. And so we decided that when CFI was over, we would start an adult catechumenate, surrounded by our identity as Christians in baptism. And so we commissioned a small group to go to Seattle for a faith and font conference on how to start an adult catechumen. And as we were sitting in a mock Easter vigil, one of the members of our CFI group leaned over to me and blurted, "You know, Mike," speaking of her husband, member of CFI and member of Wesley for 35 years, "you know, Mike's never been baptized." No. I didn't know that. And judging from my reaction, Leslie discovered that maybe she'd spoken something not insignificant, and maybe she'd spoken something that maybe wasn't even hers to say. So when we got back to Eugene, Mike and I talked privately, and the only question I had was, when will you tell our CFI group? And his hesitation was the hesitation of us all. That he would seem, after all this time, to be of faith. Well, Mike did tell our CFI group, and in fact, we all told each other our baptismal stories. And when we started our adult catechumenate in the fall, Mike was there as a candidate for baptism. Deborah, the divorcee, was there as a candidate for the reaffirmation of her baptism, for the reaffirmation of her faith. Carolyn, the widow, was there as a sponsor, no longer isolated in her grief. In fact, we had 11 candidates total, with 11 sponsors. And on our first gathering, my husband, Charlie Collier, our lead catechist, so as to assume nothing, asked the question, "How many here have never been baptized?" And Mike's hand went up, and 3 other hands went up. A woman had been attending our church for 2 years, but who had been raised Baha'i. A mother and her 16-year-old daughter, who had been attending our church for about 6 months, whose father had been raised Methodist 40 years ago, and they knew nothing about Christianity. And so we began to speak of our identity as Christians in baptism. And on the night of our Easter vigil, when I poured the waters of baptism over Mike and the others, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we realized the Spirit had given us the ability to speak of God's great deeds of power in our midst. Hauerwasser concludes that because the Spirit did not replace the different languages, the language that the church needs to be is not one that forces uniformity, but rather is a language shaped by practice. Love and vulnerability that are necessary for the required patience that enables us to tell our different stories. Pentecost restores Babel, not because it mitigates diversity, but because it creates a people who have learned how to be patient, how to speak, how to listen in an impatient world. Friends, we gather as the people of God in the Ecclesia Project, all together in one place. May the Holy Spirit rest on each of us as in these days we practice conversation and love and vulnerability. May we experience the power of the Holy Spirit